from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Tory Taylor, he was asked about his nicknames, and according to Tory Taylor, he's not crazy about the nickname Crocodile Punter.
I definitely don't want that one. How original.
The Punter from Down Under is another nickname that we have heard more regularly.
I think you've used that.
I think I've used that, so now I'm not going to use it.
No. No connection to Australia.
That's going to be a challenge.
The obvious follow. Do you have experience with snakes? Is that
Oh, come on, man. What's with all these Australian snakes?
He doesn't want to talk about anything Australian, but he nearly stepped on one 7 years ago.
Have you had an encounter with a snake?
I have. Once.
Okay.
We were at Badlands, and there were all these kind of signs up to beware of snakes.
I hate snakes, Doc! I hate them!
Yes.
And my son, and he was running, and this, you know, the snake pops up, and the two of us got out of there like you wouldn't believe.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these snakes on this plane!
Start your mornings with Mully and Hawk. 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
I get it. There's a snake in my boot.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I have never seen snakes on a plane, Mr. David, but listening to that cut, you know exactly what it is, and conceptually, it's kind of a funny idea. Weird, but I never saw it, so I can't comment.
Morning, Mully. Yes, I have neither had an experience with a snake on a plane.
Well.
Not many snakes anywhere. Tory Taylor significant by his absence in the first episode of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll probably catch up with him.
Maybe they were too Australian in their questions. He doesn't like that.
They could have asked him what it was like to hold for a PAT in his first NFL game because he decided not to punt.
Yeah, well, I don't think he decided. I think
they decided him. For him. They right. Don't want to risk the punter.
Don't want to risk the leg. Punt.
Yeah.
The leg. Yeah, they probably said something to him like, so, related to any criminals? And he just stormed off.
Come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
Come on, guys. Yeah, we'll see if he plays Saturday. I imagine he will play against the Bills. I imagine the Bears are going to give us a glimpse of their starters this week. They have to get going. They have to get together. Football on Saturday in Buffalo.
Yeah. I kind of feel, I don't know how to describe it, but from everything that we've heard, maybe they should hold off debuting that. It seems like every time the offense gets the pads on, it's kind of a dark day.
That's why you need to practice. That's why you need game simulation. That's why you need to play Caleb Williams Saturday against the Bills.
I understand conceptually what that means. I just don't know who he's behind.
Realistically, you've got to take your chances. I don't think you can risk and play scared. You're smart, but you can't play scared. And if you're scared of him because Bill Murray is in there, for instance, the blocker, not the comedian.
Yeah.
Or actor.
Thanks for clarifying.
I just want to make sure you're not like,
I knew what you meant.
Loved him
but
in stripes.
Yeah.
So you've got to see what you've got in a rookie quarterback. If you were dealing with a veteran, let's say hypothetically, Kyler Murray, not going to play in the preseason. If you were dealing with...
What is your obsession with the name Murray?
It's just at the top of mind right now.
Totally joking.
So that's a different scenario. This one requires Caleb Williams to get practice snaps, especially when you have foreshadowed your intentions by saying 45 to 60 snaps in preseason is about the right number to develop the quarterback properly. If he delays that too long, you start to wonder about his development. You don't want to be in that situation.
I just, when I hear that five starters are out on defense and you got nothing done on offense again, it doesn't matter.
Called Wednesday.
This is exactly right. This is just, it is, it's August 7th. You don't get worked up about it. However, and I do say however, this is a team that a year ago started 0-4 and 1-5. Their first six games, nothing to write home about. That record kind of waylaid their season. So that's in the back of your head. You need to be able to open the season. You need to be able to prepare for the season.
Yeah, you
and
will.
And so if guys are hurt, hey, get better.
Get
if guys
better.
Are banged up, get better.
Get well
but,
soon.
But if you just don't want to practice, get out there.
Or get out.
Or get out, period.
Get out or get out there.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, it's rant-worthy, according to Mark Grody.
Grody's had enough.
He's had enough. Mark Grody has had enough. When Grody's fed up, Grody is as mild-mannered of a guy as you probably are going to deal with.
He is mad as hell that he can't take it anymore.
He is. He's one of those guys that when you know you have lost Mark Grody, that you have maybe lost everyone.
Assuming Nate Davis is healthy, he's your right guard. He said yes, 100% yes. And then yesterday we get this from Flus being completely ambiguous, and I'm sick of it. Like, I'm done with this. Somebody needs to either tell us what's going on so we don't sit here and speculate and wonder, and I'm sure the Bears are pissed off too. I'm sure that they've had it as well with Nate Davis. But there is nothing that is being told to anybody about anything, and they're not being straight. And I swear to God, I was talking to somebody out here on the sidelines today, and I brought this up as kind of jokingly last year, and I might have even brought it up on your show. Like, does he have something in his contract where he doesn't have to practice in training camp? Because it's just uncanny. It seems like it's every day, and maybe he's injured, maybe he's not, but the whole thing out of the mouths of me and the coaching staff and Ryan Poles has been so ambiguous, and it's time to figure this out. It's time to name a center. It's time to name your right guard. It's time to stop playing games with an offensive line that's supposed to protect the generation. If you're going to do things differently, the Bears are going to be different this year, then they need to figure this thing out stat and stop playing games with it, because I'm sick of it.
Wow.
Grody's had it.
Grody drops the hammer.
Let me tell you something. If you listen, they're telling you. You're hearing it. The answer to these questions, it may seem obtuse, but it isn't. They're defining what they expect from their team. And Flusie, the last two times we've heard from him on this subject, has been about as plain spoken as he gets.
Mm-hmm. He's direct, and he is outlining more, I think, defined standards than he maybe had his first 2 years. And I think maybe the lessons of last year's slow start are compelling him to do that this season. I love Grody's urgency.
Yep.
I don't think they feel it yet, because I feel like they sense, they believe that what we just described, Matt Eberflus is being more definitive. He is being less ambiguous, and he is establishing a groundwork for and standards that certain starters have to meet, meaning Nate Davis. And if he doesn't, they're going to move on. And if they move on, it will likely be after the first preseason game. I think heading into this first preseason game, all that's happened to this point is it's been extra practice time.
Yep.
But now we're into the regular portion of the preseason. You see what you've got. You see who's available. The first preseason game is an opportunity to send a message and to start to establish a rhythm.
I'll be honest with you. I don't feel the same kind of sense of urgency that he feels or the need for clarity. I think you're at a point in your preseason where, what are you, a dozen, 13, less than 2 weeks of practices in. And
yeah.
There's a lot of guys that are dealing with strained muscles, with soreness in different areas. This is called training camp. And in the old days, you made everybody play through that, but you were aware of what was going on with them, and you had to kind of, definitely with veteran players, take it a little easier. This is just what happens to your body when you're back in an NFL training camp.
And when you're a veteran who is resistant or maybe reluctant to push yourself that hard until you know the games matter. And maybe over time, that's who he is, and that's the message that's being sent. You need to get ready earlier.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I don't share the sense of urgency. I love Grody's passion with which he speaks, and I do think, though, I'm not ready to say, stat, they need to name the center. Ready, they need to name the right guard. They've got some time to play with here. They were reporters to camp earlier than any other team. So that's a luxury I think they can enjoy and take advantage of. Speaking of Grody, his next installment of Training Camp Live tonight at 6 right here on The Score. Training Camp coverage of the Bears presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I don't get caught up in much that's going on at this point, but I think you're correct. I think that it's time to start playing some football.
Yeah.
They took a game off because it didn't matter. It was a useless game, and everyone was cool with them deciding to do that. But the reality is that these games are going to start coming. These are preparation times. You need to get your operation up and running, and it's not bothersome, but I think it's interesting that you worked on all this, you spent the off season, you're doing all your stuff, you're teaching this and that. Then you get the pads on, and all of a sudden everything goes to HE double hockey sticks. That happened earlier in their first couple padded practices. The offense all of a sudden can't get anything going, and it's kind of happening again. So that tells me that they need more practice and pads, that they need to get ready
without
for
question,
football season.
You're one practice away from feeling good about yourself
that's
what training camp is. And I believe that even though you might be compromised medically or health-wise going into this first preseason game, that's where your offensive coordinator has to have enough of a grasp of the offense and enough ability to call plays that don't put your quarterback in harm's way. You can simulate game action without putting him into situations where he's dropping seven steps, where you need a good, sturdy pocket. You can move the pocket. You can have quick releases and quick throws. You can hand the ball off, or you can throw it to DeAndre Swift, and he can catch it with one hand, as he did in practice yesterday. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That guy's got good hands.
That was a great catch.
The Bears are proud of that stuff. So yeah. Shane Waldron can call plays that make it less obvious that the offensive line is still in a state of disarray.
And I don't want to make it sound like the beginning of the season is the tell-all as to what the season, how it's going to unfold. I mean, you know, they were terrible when in their first season, and they won their first game. They won the first game of the Eberflus era, one of only three games they won. They won the first game, and they won the third game that year. They started 2-1. Because they had the monsoon.
The monsoon helped.
And then they had Houston, which also helped.
Houston had many problems that year.
Houston, we have a problem. They were done winning in October.
They were.
Their three wins that year
and
were
the bottom
all in
fell
October.
Out. Yeah.
And then they lost. That was the end of it. So I'm not pretending it's the end all be all. I'm just saying, last year's problem was their start to the season, and you came away feeling they were not prepared. They faced a Packers team that was starting a new quarterback. You thought, oh, this might be beneficial for the – it wasn't.
Wasn't.
And then you look back on that season, you think, well, that was terrible.
So you say to yourself, when you evaluate that, they need to take a different approach. And I think the rhetoric we're hearing from Matt Eberflus suggests that they're doing that.
I agree.
So that's a good sign. Speaking of Bears-Bills, so that's the game Saturday.
Yeah.
Made me reminisce a little bit about Bears Bills in the preseason. Do you remember when they played out there in 2009? I was telling somebody this story last night because we mentioned Jay Cutler on the show yesterday. Yes. And somebody mentioned that we'd mentioned Jay Cutler to me. And I'm like, Bears Bills 2009, Jay Cutler's first game in a Bears uniform.
Sure. I remember. I covered that game.
And you were there. I was there. And Jay Cutler throws a deep pass to Devin Hester that's intercepted. And after the game, we got a glimpse of what Jay Cutler was going to be like as a quarterback and the controversy with which he was going to be surrounded by when he said that Devin Hester was not a guy that who would go up and get it and that the ball was intercepted and Jay Cutler threw his receiver under the bus.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what
happened. Gave us and I can remember because you were there.
Yeah.
I was there. And it was post game, and we both looked at each other and like, "Oh,
here we go. That's the guy.
That's the takeaway that Jay Cutler just said that his receivers need to help him not throw as many interceptions."
One of those two guys is in the Hall of Fame.
One of those two guys is
just got inducted, and the other one did.
One of those guys is used as the example of a guy with great talent, but maybe not a great leader.
It's a great point. That's fairly interesting.
So I remember the Bears-Bills. I think that was the last time they played in the preseason there, maybe.
Yeah, I don't recall all the preseason games. But, yeah, I remember that one because of the significance of the quarterback coming in and the feeling you had that all they needed. It was really interesting.
Well, it's what all we talked about yesterday.
Now they got the quarterback.
Yeah, the first everything for a new quarterback. And Jay Cutler in 2009 is the closest thing we can, I think, compare to Caleb Williams 2024 in terms of the anticipation of a debut.
Right.
His first game in a Bears uniform created a buzz. And I think when Caleb Williams plays on Saturday, it will be similar to that feeling. If not, exceeds it.
Yeah. And I'm trying to temper expectations both for the Bears and for the quarterback, mm-hmm. because what we're hoping for here is an extended run. We're hoping for years and years and years of this quarterback. We're not hoping to just have the flash. We want the whole entire career. We want to see him develop and get better. I want to see him get better in the second half of this year than he is in the first half of the season. I expect growing pains. I know that there weren't great growing pains for C.J. Stroud, but that is more the exception than the rule. And I think that you've got to be aware of all that stuff. And again, we haven't been through it. We don't know what it looks like. So it's really important to go into it with kind of a lot of hope and also patience, which is something I've rarely seen from fan bases in this town.
Fan bases don't need to be patient, but they're going to have to try a little bit harder this year. I find myself, because everything you just said being valid and true, whenever Shane Waldron speaks, I listen a little closer because he's going to be tested. And I think a lot of the scrutiny that we typically assign or give to offensive coordinators and play callers is going to be exaggerated and even intensified this year because of what's at stake. And that's on him. How much do you trust Shane Waldron? So when he talks in days like yesterday, you pay a little closer attention because a month from tomorrow, I think we're 4 weeks away from the first NFL game mm-hmm. on a Thursday night. So we're getting nearer, but we still have enough time to work out the kinks, if you will.
Yeah, I do not get caught up in form of a football team in the preseason. I think the preseason it exists for exactly the reason you believe it does, which is to prepare you for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're having issues with the offensive line and they just want to have the quarterback line up and run the ball and go through a couple calls and maybe limit the number of passes, if you feel like there's no protection, maybe limit the depth of the routes, whatever it is you feel you have to do because your protection is not full on.
Do it.
That's it.
I think the key is when you talk, you mentioned C.J. Stroud and, mm-hmm. and made me think about last year and him and how Caleb Williams and this season could mirror that, or we're going to compare it to last season. You need to emphasize efficiency over explosiveness early on. because you need to, as we talk about, develop the quarterback. You want Caleb Williams into the habit of not making mistakes, not throwing interceptions. C.J. Stroud threw 5 interceptions as a rookie.
Yep.
3 of them came in one game.
I know.
Think about that efficiency. So he was
had a bad game.
Excellent, but not explosive necessarily. He was more efficient than most rookie quarterbacks are, but that's the model you want to follow if you're Shane Waldron and you're Caleb Williams, because the biggest way to lose a game or derail a season or stop your progress and development is to be a turnover machine.
Well, that's not allowed. And I mean, it's not allowed. So you can't be that. You cannot. Listen, we've seen, Peyton Manning turn the ball over famously. We saw Troy Aikman struggle as a rookie. It just happens even to the great ones. But you got to protect the football at all times.
You got to protect the football. No doubt about it.
And I mean, that's not just throwing picks. That's not letting the ball
security.
Exactly.
Ball security
is everything. Yeah, I agree.
So Cubs won, Sox lost. That's a familiar script.
What do we make of the Cubs?
I don't know.
The Cubs look good.
Yeah, they
You know, did. It helped them.
I know they did.
It helped them that the pitcher went out, because they immediately started scoring runs. Joe Ryan went down with an arm issue, and what do you have, a triceps issue, I believe they said after the game. So when he left the game, they immediately loaded the bases. It just felt like, they were down 2-1 at the time, and then immediately took a 4-2 lead and then built on it.
They took advantage of him leaving. Yep. They beat They won a series against a good Twins team.
Yeah, I agree.
After they won a series over the weekend against a good Cardinals team. And so the Cubs are teasing us a little bit.
Now they play a bad Sox team.
And you should win both those games.
I would dare say we are in the must-win portion of the program.
Both teams off today, then both teams off on Sunday. Kind of weird. So the Cubs play 2 games in 4 days. I wonder if they'll adjust their pitching accordingly, because the Guardians are next, and the Guardians are the best team in baseball. But as for the Cubs, 5 back in the wild card standings, and they still make that necessary to point out, because I think lower than 5, kind of like shrug your shoulders. 5 and under, you start to think they're teasing us. And so right now, they're teasing us. If they win both games against the Sox, they'll begin next week 1 game under 500 in mid-August. And, you're flirting with respectability again.
Well, I mean, the Sox are... The way they lost that game yesterday, it's like we've seen that game throughout the course of their 21-game losing streak, their 14-game losing streak earlier in the year. They got another one in them, don't they?
Yesterday's loss was similar to their other 88 losses.
Yeah, that's very true.
They're now 28-89. They joined the 1916 Philadelphia A's as the only teams in Major League history to lose 89-plus times in the first 117 games.
They're the coach. Their Ditka number of losses. Oh, right?
Yeah. Well, and counting.
Sadly.
They can't lose today.
They'll be Pep by the time they're done.
Tomorrow night. Yeah.
I'm just saying, we're just going to keep changing their number until we get in the hundreds.
Then Rodman on Saturday.
Oh.
Wait, he was 91.
That's Rodman?
Yeah.
It'll be Rodman by the
They end could have 91 losses.
Well, they're going to.
Saturday.
Listen. Are they getting to 30 or to 100 faster?
I don't know.
I mean,
there's a lot of Sox math. For Benetti being out of town, there's been a lot of Sox math this year.
None of it good.
No.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's a bad equation.
It's hard when you're dealing with negative numbers. Not so easy. Did you watch any of the Olympic stuff? Every time I turn on the TV, some guy comes up on the inside and gets a silver in the steeplechase or something. You're just like, what?
Well, last night was all track and field, and they were all semifinals, and it was fine. A little bit repetitive, but it's all right.
It's a lot of running in track and field. Score has learned.
Those guys are fast.
Hey.
Man.
You're running in circles, man.
Which do you prefer, the hurdles or the sprints?
Yeah, I think I prefer the sprints, just because I don't know if you've ever – done hurdles. I have unfortunately done the hurdles.
And when did you do the hurdles?
Just as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. We had
you were a hurdler?
I did some hurdling.
I wasn't a hurdler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't run track.
You never ran track?
No.
Oh, God.
I played baseball.
That was so much fun.
I was a baseball guy.
I loved playing. Like, I just loved all the little track stuff, the shot put, like different stuff. You got to try all
that
stuff.
What is there to like about the shot put?
It's kind of cool.
I mean, it's awkward.
Well, it's a spin and a throw. Yeah. It's not like a – what you want to do is you want to, like, take the ball and try to whip it like you're throwing a lead.
No, I wouldn't – those field events never appealed to me. The javelin throw.
The whole thing's kind of cool. The javelin, that just sounds dangerous.
Long jump. Now, I did try that a couple times. I think we had some fun with that, but I never was a track star.
High jump, float. What's it called?
No.
Foxbury flip, whatever the
Foxbury
hell
flip? No, the Foxbury flop. I did not flop.
Whatever the
No, I saved my flopping for the basketball floor.
It's super cool, though. I'm just saying
it's cool. I wouldn't enjoy doing it.
You know, throwing yourself onto a pad is fun.
Shoulder pad.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah, shoulder pad, helmet. Let's strap them on.
I mean,
let's have some contact.
I love that, too.
I missed the contact.
I love that, too.
Track and field. Yeah.
Just saying, as a kid, you tried everything, didn't you?
I know. You played soccer, so I get it. So
what's wrong with soccer?
Nothing. I mean, soccer's more like track. We were running a lot.
Yeah, we were more ethnic. Honestly, I told you I was a hyphenated American. I played football. I played baseball. We played softball. We had softball league.
Hyphenated American.
I was an Irish American.
Yeah, I know. Like a lot of people on the South Side. Yeah.
But I mean, like we were actually close to the homeland. Mm-hmm. My mom was born in Ireland. My dad was born in the north of England.
Your hyphen meant soccer. More. It was a little bit more.
No, I'm just saying,
connected.
Like, we played ethnic sport. We were ethnics more so than some of your ethnics. We didn't speak a different language, mercifully.
We were ethnics more than your typical ethnics.
I'm saying, like, you can be, like, everybody can claim to be Irish, but they probably,
right.
If you gave them a quiz about Irish history, they probably wouldn't know a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Irish history, by the way, full of some really sad, horrible stories. There's not a lot of really positive stuff.
Let's keep it positive today.
All right, we're going positive. We're going to have fun. We got the pick six. We're going to tear apart all the stories of the day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now. But later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, should be a blast. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 to score.
It-
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit feelgreatillinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or the weight loss options. Do you believe Bears OC Shane Waldron when he says QB Caleb Williams is moving closer to putting it all together, even when the defense minus five starters seems capable of keeping him in check and limiting explosive plays as they did yesterday?
When you watch him and you watch him go through his reads and his progressions right there, I think, you know, going to where the ball should go is happening way more times than not.
Are you buying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm totally bought in on the quarterback, and I'm going to be looking for the positives more so than the results, especially in the early days. I think that we have to remember that progress is incremental. It's not like stairs. It's not like rungs of a ladder. It's not just this climb up. It is incremental. So he'll be playing, and then all of a sudden you'll be like, wow, he's really getting this. He's playing better. And then you'll be like, ooh, he's hit another level. That's kind of how progress goes. It doesn't go the way you think it does, where every practice is a little bit better than the next one. That's not it. It's about jumping and figure out what you're doing. And if he is getting to a point where the majority of the time the ball's going to the right spot, well, guess what? Then the ball's going to be going there accurately soon enough. If he's doing it and reading it and seeing it unfold in that fashion, that is great news, regardless of results right now.
Well, thank you, Mully. You just made me feel better because I was not seeing it the way you just described it, and you described it well, so I'm gonna back off the ledge a little bit. And maybe, just maybe, this defense is going to be even better than it was last year, even without. And they're not going still live, right? Up at Halas Hall, right. It's still not live. The linemen are still not 100% going at it yet. I do want to see him play Saturday. I really do. I mean, you can tell me that even the reps up at Halas Hall are NFL reps. We've heard that argument. I want to see reps against another team that is just even scheming against them a little tiny bit.
There's also an element of if he is the performer and the so-called star in the making that we have built him up to be, and we have seen him in the past, when the lights go on, there's just a different approach.
Absolutely.
He's got to be one of these guys. He doesn't have to be one of these guys, but you wonder, you suspect if he's one of these guys that will raise his game a level when it's in, there's an audience, it's a game setting, and it just creates a different vibe and it creates a different approach. I'm not concerned. I really am not concerned. I think the Bears defense is a very strong defense to practice against on a regular basis, so that's good for his development. I also believe that Shane Waldron, his rhetoric is going to reflect what we heard, what we talked about yesterday, what we saw on Hard Knocks. Nick Saban, remember him? You don't say negative things about your quarterback publicly. You got to keep it positive, especially when you have a rookie. If you have a veteran who has let you down or is a guy you need to ride, and different guys have different approaches, that's different. But this isn't that. This is a rookie quarterback where everything is going to be positive in what you see, and you're always going to look at the glass half full rather than half empty. So one bad practice is not going to change your overall evaluation that things are headed in the right direction.
You know, going back to the previous question.
All right, specifically, what should we make of the Bears' offense struggling against the defense? Caleb Williams limited to just two pass completions during 11-on-11. Can you get too concerned before that preseason action for Caleb Williams?
It's a similar version of the same question. I think that when you look at the offense, you can be concerned about the health and the cohesiveness and chemistry of your offensive line. I think you compartmentalize different position groups and what you're seeing and how that it would all come together. That's the coaching staff's job, and that's eventually you want that feeling of being cohesive coming together within the last couple weeks of training camp. Ideally, it would happen sooner. You don't want to peak too soon. That's kind of weird to say, but you don't want to get it going in mid-August, and then all of a sudden, you know, you run out of momentum or whatever the case is. I wouldn't say this is a great statistic, two passes, but I just don't know enough of the circumstances. The people watching practice describe it as one of his worst days on the practice field. But it's August 8th, not September 8th, and I think we have a lot of time to play with here. So I would caution against getting too concerned about Caleb Williams until you start to see his performances against other defenders, other defenses, and until you see, you know, the performances stacked back to back.
Well, as you all know, I am always concerned, but I'm gonna lean back into this defense being really good. And now they've seen each other a lot, right? They started a week earlier than all the other teams because other than the Texans, right? Because they played that extra preseason game. So I just think they know the routes, they know the passes, they know the rhythm. I think the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense at this stage of the game.
Yes, it disturbs me that the secondary is down, that you don't have corners and you don't have one of their safeties and you're not completing passes in 11 on 11. You should be able to do that. So that's, those numbers stink, and that's not good. But I think it should be better, especially if five members of the starting defense are out. I get it. One of them's a defensive tackle, and he's not really pressuring the quarterback. But nonetheless, you know, you don't have secondary guys. Any corner shouldn't be able to cause you problems. So this is not good. It's not a good practice. You're not going to sit here and kind of brag about it and show the tape to everyone, send it around the league. Hey, secret release. I don't think that's good. But again, as I said, I'm not worried right now.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. He'll be with you guys at 7, Biggs time, 7 this morning. Let's answer the DJ Moore question, the one he asked of Hard Knocks after Colin Johnson caught a TD pass. How many wide receivers will the Bears keep? 5, 6, and can you name them in order, please?
Yeah, I think that they'll keep on the opening day roster. I think they'll probably keep 5. One of them would be kind of a return guy, too. So I think that out of respect, I'll start with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, Tyler Scott. I think those guys have made the team. And then the question is whether you're going to, whether you like what you're seeing from Colin Johnson so much you would actually give him a roster spot, or if there's going to be someone like Dante Pettis or, Velus Jones, someone like that. That it's interesting they had, did you see all the stuff with the guys returning punts and no Velus Jones, not even trying it, not even lining up.
But Rome Odunze was.
Oh, yeah. They got that's half the free world.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's very interesting. So I'm going to go with 5. They could keep 6, but I think that they'll probably have to keep maybe an extra lineman, maybe an extra defensive lineman. So I'm going to say they're certain with the receivers to the point. And this would also mean that they're keeping 3 running backs. Are they... Like, as we look at the edge of the roster, are they thinking about keeping a fullback? That doesn't make a ton of sense. They only have Blasting Game is the only guy competing for that spot. And then who's the other running? Is it Homer Drew? Who's the last running back?
Travis Homer.
Travis Homer, sorry. Homer Drew is a pretty good basketball
pretty
coach.
Pretty good basketball coach.
Yeah.
Good bloodlines.
I can't believe he's trying to play running back. Yeah. If he's the returner, if he's a punt returner and he's also a kickoff returner, maybe you get an extra running back that way. But I, for the purposes of this answer, I'll say 5.
I think 5 is the right number because I think they're also going to keep 3 tight ends. And then the other question is...
One of whom is kind of a blocking guy.
Right. And then the other question is, and I thought this was really one of the takeaways from your guys' sit-down with Big Z up at Bears training camp, was the fullback. Waldron doesn't use a fullback usually. Now, he's using one in practice. How good is the fullback on special teams? The other thing, with the new kickoff, like, does the wide receiver, like, would the 6 wide receiver be a participant on that new kickoff? It's something that we don't know exactly right now.
That's the Velus Pettis question.
Right. So I listen, I think the first four are easy. Okay, and we can do it. I'll just say DJ Moore because he's our guy ahead of Keenan Allen, you know, just out of respect, right? It's all the same. The first four, it's a question of, you know, Dante Pettis, Colin Johnson. Is Velus Jones a running back now, or is he a wide receiver now that they've got him playing over there with the running backs? And the other thing is, and this is part of the Hard Knocks, the interesting thing, what, you know, little things we can get. The quarterback said he's going to be on the team for a while. How much weight does that carry?
I think it carries a lot of weight, and Colin Johnson played his way into the conversation. That's why this is a question this week. And
big man.
If he continues to have a productive preseason in game action, he gives the Bears an element they don't really have. As big as he is, the red zone possibility, not to say he's even going to get that many looks, if they do go four wide receivers – and you are looking for an element that Tyler Scott, the opposite end of the spectrum, doesn't give you, Colin Johnson would. I think they keep five wide receivers. I think that he might be the fifth. Velus Jones might make this team as a running back. He practiced again there yesterday. It wouldn't surprise me if he makes the Bears as a gimmick running back, returner, and then you look at blasting game, could be the odd man out. More likely to see that, I think, than him make the team and not take a snap. And I don't know if special teams is a big enough reason to compel them to keep him. You've got the two running backs, and you've got if Velus Jones takes advantage of this opportunity, and this is an opportunity, maybe it's a last-ditch desperation move for the Bears to justify his roster spot. But if they see something they like, and he practiced there yesterday again, they might see something they like, then it's going to be five wide receivers, maybe five running backs, and he's one of them.
I can't believe you're not including Homer Drew.
Homer Drew, I'm leaning toward Bryce.
You of all people.
Bryce Drew would be a better option at running back, a little bit quicker out of the backfield.
I go with the veteran experience of
yes.
Homer.
That's the question.
White Sox losing skid ended at 21 straight, but they're back in action yesterday, blowing a two-run lead late, falling 3-2. Can the team that already suffered a 14-game, a 21-game losing streak, put together another double-digit skid this season? Will they lose both games to the Cubs this weekend?
Well, I think they probably will lose both games to the Cubs, and a double-digit losing streak is not out of the question just because of what's likely to happen next. Garrett Crochet pitches Friday night or is scheduled to. Then what? Shut him down. You're going to likely call up another minor leaguer to add to the rotation. Davis Martin, good last night.
Yeah.
Very good. So I guess that's another pitcher that you look at and say that's a sign of a glimmer of hope, but they're few and far between. When do you call up Colson Montgomery? What manager is going to be here the rest of the season? Is it going to be Pedro Grifol? These are the kind of questions you ask when the White Sox are as bad as they are. But if the question is, are they capable of losing double-digit games a third time this year? Absolutely, yes. And they're going to get swept by the Cubs.
Well, I'm not going to put the cart in front of the horse. Here's hoping, right? The Cubs need to continue to win series. That's a winnable series. And when you're only playing a two-game series, you really need to win both games in order to win the series, right? Mathematically, you can't split. That wouldn't be a winning series. Could the Sox do it again? Sure. I'm not rooting for them to do it again. I was more rooting for just because I thought the juice this Cubs-Sox thing needs some juice. The juice is not there like it used to be, at least from this Cubs fan perspective. It's not what it used to be. And if the record could have been set on Friday night, that would have really added to it for both sides, right? Like the Sox, it's bad enough that you're in that situation, and even worse that the Cubs could do it, and the Cubs fans would want to be the ones to put it to them, and then, oh my gosh, they would end it versus the Cubs. It would really spice up that rivalry, and we've gotten that taken away.
They got 89 losses. How can you get any juice?
That's what I just said. There would be juice if the all-time record could have been set Friday night for the worst futility. That could have given the fan. The players may not have cared. I would have tried to have made a big deal about it. I would have cared, especially with Crochet pitching. That makes it extra juicy. That's like the bacon on a cheeseburger. You just, you know, a little extra or a fried egg or something.
Yeah. The very fact that you think it's sad that they lost a game because you can't kick them harder when they're down is very revealing, frankly, Mr. Dustino. Look, the White Sox, they are not an obstacle. They are your next opponent, but they're not putting up a good fight. So what you have to do if you're the Cubs is make sure you win both games because they're very winnable games. And they are there for you. So don't blow it. Don't blow it. Don't do anything to lose a game. The only way the White Sox are going to win a game is if you do something that allows them to do so. Now, the reality is random variance says that there could be somebody, like, I don't know if anyone's paying attention. I'm sure you're not, and congratulations. Ben Attendee is starting to hit a little bit, and he's hit a few home runs. He's been hitting home runs a little bit. So if a guy like that were to go off, Brooks Baldwin, I know we don't talk about him at all.
He does a great job marketing.
He's
a great marketer.
He's hitting the ball pretty well. He's getting on base.
Executive Vice President?
He looks like...
Oh, that's Brooks' player.
I believe it was Frank Thomas who said he looks like somebody's small child.
He looks like he should be in the Little League World Series.
It's unbelievable.
He looks like he plays for Hinsdale.
He totally does.
Congratulations to Hinsdale, by the way.
He's actually made a little bit of noise.
Okay.
I'm just saying, they're not an obstacle. They're not an entity to be feared, but they are sitting there. So as long as you don't start kicking the ball around or throwing the ball all over the world, you're going to win the game. All you got to do is just come out and play your game and be like a proper baseball team.
Would you bring up Colson Montgomery this weekend?
No, I wouldn't.
Why?
Because I don't think he's ready.
He hit a 450-foot home run.
I don't care. I just from talking to different people, they say that he probably shouldn't come up this year. The other thing is,
you want juice? You want buzz?
I don't think
that'll provide some.
I mean. You know, this would be his first of his Jackson Holiday trips to the majors. He needs to come up, and then next year he'd be able to hit. So I just don't want to rush that right. process. See what I'm saying?
Mr. Patience.
Thank you, buddy. Known for it. When it comes to Mully, I count to 10.
It's a good question.
Then I hit him. A stick.
Speaking of the Cubs, is it time to acknowledge that Michael Busch has been a solid offensive contributor as they've had this season? Is that a good thing, or does it underscore how much the offense has struggled? Are you digging their performance in the must-win portion of the schedule? What stood out to you in the 8-2 series win over the Twins yesterday afternoon?
I really, Michael Busch stood out to me, and Michael Busch is having a hell of a year. And Michael Busch, his rating... When you look at him among first basemen, I think he's like fifth. Now, it's a big drop-off. It's like he's got half the war of a couple of those top dogs. But the fact of the matter is, he's doing as much, and he is solidifying a position probably more than just about anybody else in the lineup. I don't think we're sitting here now questioning, well, should Bellinger play first? Because if he comes back, you can... No, Michael Busch needs to be in the lineup. He is a dead solid player. You know, what is he, 26, 27-year-old rookie? He's been around. He looks like a pro, and he's had quietly as good a year as any position player on the Cubs, and it was fun to see him again yesterday. I think that the winner-alls portion of the program, you know, Dustin, you've used the word tease a couple of times. You know, they won a couple games now, and they won a series. If they sweep the White Sox, they should, and they win that series against the Guardians, we're going to have a completely different conversation. This is now the portion of the program where being in a game isn't good enough. You got to win. And they, you know, obviously, you know, what stood out to me yesterday is that once the pitching changed, Minnesota changed, and all of a sudden the Cubs jumped on it, took advantage of it, and they were laughing. So that's a good thing to see when a team has a problem and you take advantage of that. That's good baseball.
Well, starting with Michael Busch, I probably should be giving him more credit than I have. I haven't been killing him on the Fly the W670 podcast, but I also haven't been singing his praises because the offense just as in totality has been so awful, underperforming. But the crazy part is, so watched all of that game yesterday.
Me too.
At least watched and listened. I was back and forth between the app and the TV. Is that yet last night while I'm watching the Olympics, I'm following what the teams ahead of the Cubs in the wild card are doing. So now I'm scoreboard watching. And today I'll be scoreboard watching, and hopefully if the Cubs can get a lead on Friday, I'll be just the fact that right now you're like it's early August and I'm scoreboard watching. And I thought about 5 days ago that it was really over and that it was time to see Owen Casey up here for a weekend. And now it's not time to see Owen Casey up here for a weekend. They're just toying with my emotions.
I know you don't care about this, but I believe the Twins picked up a game where the Guardians swept. Yesterday, because I think somehow the Twins lost the series and picked up a game.
That part, I'm not paying attention to that right now.
Michael Busch will be in the conversation for NL Rookie of the Year, but he won't be among the top one or two or maybe three. Shota Imanaga will probably finish ahead of him. Jackson Merrill and Paul Skenes will duke it out for the top spot, but he'll be a guy that gets votes. He's been a very good acquisition. Him and Shota have been Jed Hoyer's best moves last offseason, and Michael Busch looks like a guy who's good enough to stay. And count on, he's a consistent hitter, and his best thing about him has been his consistency. So he's on the right track. I think he's definitely a guy you can win with, and the numbers support that. What happened yesterday was the bottom of the order came through again. PCA, his last couple weeks, is looking like a very good major league hitter with speed to burn. Christian Bethencourt is now hitting over 400 as a Cub. Four games he started, they've won them all. That unexpected power source is at the bottom of the lineup. So when there's 7, 8, 9 hitters, Dansby Swanson being the seventh, PCA 8 and Bethencourt 9 give you that kind of production, your lineup becomes longer and more deep, and that has been something lacking badly for the Cubs all year long. They're teasing us. 5 games out of the wild card is still relevant enough to not discount entirely, even though I wonder this, are they a good team that's done playing mediocre baseball, or they're a mediocre team that's suddenly gotten in a stretch where they're playing good baseball? We'll find out against the Guardians more than we will against the White Sox.
The last question will be...
That's the voice of Stacey Dales, 9 o'clock from the NFL Network. What's the next big Olympic headline or story that you're looking forward to seeing? What's your favorite story from Wednesday?
Wednesday was interesting. A lot of track and field. The female sprinters, they don't worry about, like... You know, their hair's flowing all over the place. You'd think they would be worried about that, right? They're just...
You should shave their heads.
No, they should.
For wind resistance.
It fascinates me how they get that done. They're so fast, and it's very something to behold. I watched a lot of track and field. Quincy Hall was probably the highlight. He came back, won the 400 after trailing, and there was drama. Then he did the snow angel and the track, and he's got a lot of personality like a lot of those runners do. Sarah Hildebrand won the freestyle wrestling. She's from Granger, Indiana, went to Penn High School. Know some people who know the family. Happy for her and them. The next big headline, yesterday was U.S. women beat Nigeria and nobody showed up. Attendance is down for those U.S. women's basketball team, isn't it?
Should have brought Kit.
That's the point. The next big headline, obviously we'll talk about this in the extra point as well, is Team USA collects gold. And who's most responsible for that? Let's debate it.
Okay, so today what I'm looking forward to, it's about 2:30 this afternoon, Noah Lyles going for the 100-200 double to be the fastest guy around. That's really cool. David, I watched a lot last night, so you saw a lot of track and field last night. But a headline that grabbed my attention, I did not see it, but I read about it, was an American male weightlifter. The men in weightlifting, American men, haven't won since the early 80s. It's been that at any weight class. And this is a guy who trains primarily in his garage and was able to win his division. So that's a pretty cool story.
Hmm.
Yeah, I got too much stuff in my garage. I can't work out in my garage. I love the steeplechase guy. Did you see that one? It was just extraordinary. The guy got up for silver somehow. It was amazing to watch. He just didn't look like he was going to... He didn't look like a sprinter of any sort. He didn't look like the kind of guy that was going to overpower anybody. He was kind of a little fella, and it was hugely fun. Listen, you know, the we're heading toward the team sports gold. So the semifinals and the finals and some of the big team sports, I am... I'm definitely camped out in front of USA Basketball. We'll get to that. There's a great storyline that we can talk about with that. And I think that the women's soccer is coming up. I cannot wait to see that one. That's going to be tons of fun on Saturday. I've been enjoying that tournament. I don't know that I'm worried at all about the U.S. women in basketball. I think that they'll win. I think they'll win going away. And I think the only team that can beat them is the all-star team that did. So the women's B team would be a really interesting team to get into the tournament and see how they do. I think that'd be a hell of a story. But, I'm kind of interested. I enjoyed the track stuff, as I mentioned, but... we got out of the pool now, and we're into some of this track stuff. I believe it or not, I am taping the breakdancing. I believe the women are Friday and the men Saturday. Is that what it is? We were just going through.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm dead serious. I am making sure I'm recording it. I cannot figure out how the hell breakdancing is an Olympic sport.
How is skateboarding an Olympic sport?
Well, it's really not. How did we lose to the bunch of Aussies in skateboarding? Where the hell are our bum San Diego skateboarders?
Did you watch any of that handball? It's amazing.
Were those guys too high to show up? What the hell happened with the skateboarding?
So that's not nice. That's casting aspersions sport.
Like, team handball? Is that what you're talking about?
Team handball, yeah.
I could sit in front of that. I don't know the rules, man.
Who came up with that game?
I'm just like, what the
hell is
that?
Who invented that? How did it become an Olympic sport?
And then I'm thinking, I can name 15 athletes that would win that thing going away. Why don't we why are we winning gold?
I don't understand how they determine what is an Olympic sport.
What is
skateboarding?
That sport?
Breakdancing. Breakdancing.
I just want to see.
3-on-3 basketball?
How
is 3-on-3 basketball an Olympic sport? When did Gus Macker become an Olympian?
Where did they dig up Jimmer Fredette? God, I thought we had escaped that nickname.
Former Bull. Jimmer. Show some respect.
Jimmer.
He's a former Bull.
That gives me hives. Jimmer. All right. We got the extra point next. It's a good one. Molly Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Molly and Haw on 670 the score.
Are you pleased to see Steve Kerr gearing up the U.S. men's basketball team for their semifinal with Serbia by suggesting the opponent may have been playing possum with Jokic in group play and the pre-tournament portion of the program? The Serbs have played the U.S. even with the three-time MVP, the Joker, on the floor. Kerr suggesting he, the Joker, could play 40 minutes versus USA, according to Kerr. Do you love that prep?
I like anything Steve Kerr does. I'm a big fan. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's seeing. He's a master in terms of preparing teams for this kind of challenge. And he's probably right about Jokic. But the thing is with the Joker is that he could play 40 minutes. He's likely to play 40 minutes. Yep. Everybody knows he's going to play 40 minutes. It's not going to matter. With due respect to him as maybe, the MVP, you could make the argument about him being the most impactful player in the NBA. What the Team USA has is several versions of the Joker. So he could play 40, but Embiid is going to play 25, and Anthony Davis is going to play 25, and then LeBron and Durant, and then, don't forget about Jason Tatum. He can't go. He's got to play. All the guys, all the depth, all the talent, and that's why Steve Kerr can sound like he knows what's going to happen and he knows something that the rest of us don't know, because he's going to win. They're going to beat Serbia. It will be a good challenge, and maybe they were doing what he was suggesting by playing possum. Fine. Not going to matter. This is going to be Team USA winning by double digits. Jokic having a very good showing as he's averaging 19 and 11. He'll get his average and then some. He'll play 40, but it won't matter. USA, USA.
This is wild to me. I mean, this reminds me of back growing up and really following Notre Dame football and getting into it. And Lou Holtz would each week tell you about why he was worried about Navy or what the Army might be able to do to Notre Dame back in the heyday of Notre Dame football in the late 80s, early 90s. All right, so according to Circus Sports Illinois, USA basketball is a 15-point favorite this afternoon. So come on, Steve, please.
Yeah, I love that this is what he's doing. because I tell you what, like, the last thing that you want to do is kind of embarrass yourself or be lulled to sleep, as he said, by the fact that that you beat them before, that you beat them during you know, both the build up to the games and in group play. And I think he's absolutely right that when the Joker has been on the floor, they Serbia has played the USA fairly even. It's when he goes to the bench that they've made their runs. So we all know how good the Joker is, Nikola Djokovic. We know how good that guy is. He's a three-time MVP. So I think he's trying to tell his team, hey, you know, let's not skip a step. Let's be up and ready and running. And apparently he's got a couple things planned that he wants to kind of unveil against Serbia. They handled Serbia about as well as you could, and they dominated that team. I watched both those games. I would hate to see him stumble. And I think Kerr's doing exactly what coaches do in big moments. And you're right, Dustin. Maybe it's kind of creating an opponent. But the very fact that they played him even when Joker's on the court, it tells you. You know, he couldn't play the whole game up to this point. I would be stunned if he comes out for a minute. And the U.S. is going to be sending guys in and out and all that stuff because you got to deal with all the egos, although they've done a great job of distributing the ball, and they got a great group that doesn't seem to care who leads them on a particular night. You know, we have not seen Steph Curry lead them in scoring in a game yet. We haven't seen LeBron James lead them in scoring in a game yet. They don't care about that, and I think it's really important. It sends a good message to the rest of the team.
I think you're right. Well put. This is a team that has put their egos aside. The most outspoken member of this team in terms of saying anything remotely controversial has been Joel Embiid. Do you agree with that?
Probably.
And when he made the comment earlier in the tournament about LeBron, and then he's the guy that's most quoted where you might raise an eyebrow. But other than that, it seems as if this has been very cohesive, and the chemistry has been what you would hope it to be with guys who are united by a common goal. And that's all you can ask for. And I think that's why Steve Kerr does have people's confidence, or has my confidence. And I think he has the respect. He's been able to pull it off. Now he's just got a couple more victories.
Listen, it's their gold medal.
It's inevitable.
And if you do something to mess that up, you're going to regret it.
You're going to be historic. You're going to be a historic figure for the wrong reasons.
It makes you feel like they got the right guy in charge, because he's just not going to let it happen on his watch.
Right.
And that's an important thing to keep in mind. So, there are star-studded semifinals. It should be fun to watch. I'm really looking forward to the whole game and to the whole tournament. And I love the idea. You know, France against Germany is super good game.
So far, I just wanted, as raising my hand, I wanted to know if you're pulling for either side based on the potential gold medal matchup. Are you hoping for Germany or France?
I would like to see France get through. I've seen the U.S. beat
Germany. I want to see Wembanyama.
I agree.
Okay, I'm with you. I just wanted to.
I want to see him beat every team in the tournament. Right. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And Germany's good, man. They
like the home court advantage that you might get with France. Maybe
I just want to see Wemby against the U.S. I think that would be great against that group of all-stars.
Yeah.
Seeing that would be more watchable than Germany, U.S.
I love to watch Rudy Gobert. So I'm just going to want to... What? No one says.
Nobody says that. No. But then again, that could be possible, because you did last segment say you were taping breakdancing. So your Olympic taste...
I believe I said
continued to surprise.
But,
okay, you're recording breakdancing.
It's not my Olympic taste. I just want to know how you score something like that, and I really want to know if
it's a platinum. It's a platinum plus.
Do you know that?
Well, not exactly, but I'm a dance dad, and so same idea. Like you watch one thing, it's interpretation, right? I'm sure there are certain moves that have to be done, like in gymnastics, where like on the floor exercise they have to do. There's a couple of things like, okay, they did that, check. They did that, check.
Yeah.
And then it's how good did they do the things that are required. I'm sure there's requirements within each dance.
I don't know how far we've advanced with time travel, but if we could bring the late 80s back, or the mid 80s rather, I think we'd roll in breakdancing.
A little boombox.
Just transport some people.
Be cool.
From those, the streets of New York.
They would, it would break out on a sidewalk somewhere with live music.
Bring your own piece of cardboard, right? When they have the cardboard, you used to do it on the cardboard,
right?
For like slickness, I think.
Yeah. Well, also, you ever spin around on your head?
How many cardboard dreams helps. Were born on those sidewalks? Olympic dreams.
None. I don't think there's ever been a breakdancer who thought I'm going to the Olympics. Certainly not in the 80s. All right. 312-644-6767. How many dreams were built in those streets? Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score. Molly at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That, of course, the Hard Knocks music. You can listen to it all day. Fun to think about the Bears on Hard Knocks. I'm looking forward to the next episode. You had an opportunity, you and Dan, on the Take the North podcast. You talked to the producer of the program,
right? Shannon Furman is the director of Hard Knocks. She's done this for about a decade, various teams, various towns. And she's at Hallis Hall, did the podcast yesterday. It dropped in the afternoon with Dan and Adam Sadzinski, the producer. I asked her a lot of questions about a 20-minute conversation. It's worth listening to if you liked the first episode. There's a lot that she went into in terms of behind the scenes. You know, Austin Reed had a previous relationship with the Hard Knocks producers and team based on the Manning camp, the passing camp. So they knew the family, and that helped them set that moment up. But I was particularly intrigued by something we talked about yesterday, about the lack of profanity that you heard.
There was nary a swear word on that first episode. You picked up on that immediately. Just because football is life. Well, there are people that will drop a swear word without even blinking.
Also, because I walked in here and first thing you kind of said was you watched it with your wife
family.
And your family. Yeah. Dustin said the same thing. You heard from a lot of people sat down and it was family viewing, and it could be. And it could be. And I thought that stood out to me because of what you just described. So I asked Shannon Furman about the fact that we listened to and watched the first episode and it was pretty clean.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's important to the McCaskey family, but also, like, Coach is kind of funny because he'll say to me, like, I'm not going to curse today. And I'm like, Coach, I haven't heard you curse yet. Like, so I don't think that's going to be different than any other day. It's definitely something that, like, we've all said it. Like, it's like, have you heard anyone curse here yet? So it's definitely something. And I've also heard Coach say, like, you know, like, I know he's watching his language, but I think that's just who he is. I think he's like that even if there are not cameras around. So it's something we've all been impressed by being here. Like, it's definitely different. Everyone's a little different. We've heard that in the past, too, with different shows where people will say, like, oh, like, I don't want to look like Rex Ryan looked. And you're like, well, Rex wanted to look how he looked, and I think he looked great. But, like, if you're not Rex Ryan, you're not going to look how Rex Ryan looked. So it's all about how you are the person. We try to be as authentic as possible to who everyone is. And, you know, no two people are the same.
Do you believe, because I believe, that word got down, hey, don't be swearing.
Yes.
No question.
I think that was part of the message from the top. And if you talk about Matt Eberflus being so conscious that he's saying to the producer, I'm not going to swear today, I think that probably comes from the conversations that were had before they welcomed all of the team of the cameras in and all of the intrusiveness that this includes. And they're like, okay, we need to be consistent here. And I don't think it's accidental, which is very interesting.
You don't curse a lot. You don't do a lot of swearing. I don't swear a ton. I remember being in college one time and one of my friends from home showed up and a friend of mine commented on me. He, I never heard you swear. Like, you guys just sat there cursing at each other, swearing about stuff. I was like, it was just kind of, you know, growing up stuff. It was no big deal. But I don't think generally, I mean, I think we all know all the words, but there are other words that are probably better than those words, and you try to avoid them for the most part.
You try to, if you can. I mean, everybody has a different style and everybody has a different way they were brought up. It's interesting. I did ask also about George McCaskey because he historically has been opposed to Hard Knocks, right? And we're attributing a lot of this, the tone of it, to what George had to say and what George wanted to do. And I also talked to her about George being a character in this episode. It doesn't sound like that's going to be the case, but this is what she talked about and said about any issues with George McCaskey.
No, I mean, the team has been great, and George has been great. You know, I mean, I don't know that you'll see him on TV or anything, but he's been super welcoming. Everyone here has been very welcoming. I think it's just, it's relationship building, honestly. The fact that, like, we had some time to get to know people. I made 3 different trips here before we started filming. So you just start building trust. You get to know each other on a personal level, and it's not about the show and what you're doing that way. Just know my background, where I come from, how long I've been doing this, why I love doing this. And then you just form a mutual respect for each other and whatnot. So it's been really great. Having a lot of fun doing this year. Last year wasn't the easiest at times because it was so late. Like, we didn't know about the show till a couple of days before it with the Jets last year. So it took more time for those relationships to build. So the fact that we had some time this year to really get to know everybody leading into this process was huge and has been very helpful in I think we've been here for a little over 3 weeks now. So it's been really great.
That's good stuff.
George rides a scooter. He is a youth sports coach.
Yes.
He is a character with some quirky tendencies for his personality, very affable, and he talks to fans. So if he's not part of this, it's because he doesn't want to be part of this.
George has never wanted to be part of it. and I mean, like, I was just amused thinking of us going to training camp, literally getting there at the crack of dawn. It's dark out. We're sitting there. And one of the first guys we see is George on the scooter, right? I mean, just it's like the fact that they don't have that shot, that they don't have a camera picking. Surely they see that.
That's, yes. It makes me wonder if that was conditional, which is why I asked the question.
Yes.
Okay. We'll welcome you here. We'll do everything we need.
Leave me out of it.
Leave me out of it. Yep. And that's why she said at the beginning, I don't think you'll see George in this TV show.
Exactly. Too bad.
It's too bad because I think he would be a likable character that we talk about the way Matt Eberflus is. Perception and image could improve over the course of the 6 episodes. So could George McCaskey's if he allowed it to happen.
I told you, I went up to Hallis Hall. I got locked out. I'm trying to get in the front door. I'm going into a news conference. 3 guys come down the stairs and they look at me, and even the PR guy looks at me, and I'm like standing there, like holding my hands up. Is I'm often found in this pose. I always thought, like, if I had a newspaper photo, it should be this one. Like, that was all I had. It wouldn't be like this or like this. It'd just be like, throw my hands up. But George doubles back and lets me in the door. It's George that does that. He's a nice person. He's a good man.
Yep.
But I don't know about seeing him on TV. And
I don't think you're going to see him on this the next thing. Episode of Hard Knocks. So. She did hint that. Get ready for a lot of Tyson Bagent.
312-644-6767. He's a compelling figure. I'm sure his father's going to be around. They have him arm wrestle you on one of the episodes. We got Bigs time next on The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We got the extra point next. It's a good one. Mully Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 the score.
Are you pleased to see Steve Kerr gearing up the U.S. men's basketball team for their semifinal with Serbia by suggesting the opponent may have been playing possum with Jokic in group play and the pre-tournament portion of the program? The Serbs have played the U.S. even with the three-time MVP, the Joker, on the floor. Kerr suggesting he, the Joker, could play 40 minutes versus USA, according to Kerr. Do you love that prep?
I like anything Steve Kerr does. I'm a big fan. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's seeing. He's a master in terms of preparing teams for this kind of challenge. And he's probably right about Jokic. But the thing is with the Joker is that he could play 40 minutes. He's likely to play 40 minutes. Yeah. Everybody knows he's going to play 40 minutes. It's not going to matter. With due respect to him as maybe, you know, the MVP, you could make the argument about him being the most impactful player in the NBA. What the Team USA has is several versions of the Joker. So he could play 40, but Embiid is going to play 25, and Anthony Davis is going to play 25, and then LeBron and Durant, and then, oh, don't forget about Jason Tatum. He can't go. He's got to play all the guys, all the depth, all the talent, and that's why Steve Kerr can sound like he knows what's going to happen and he knows something that the rest of us don't know, because he's going to win. They're going to beat Serbia. It will be a good challenge, and maybe they were doing what he was suggesting by playing possum. Fine. Not going to matter. This is going to be Team USA winning by double digits. Jokic having a very good showing as he's averaging 19 and 11. He'll get his average and then some. He'll play 40, but it won't matter. USA, USA.
This is wild to me. I mean, this reminds me of back growing up and really following Notre Dame football and getting into it. And Lou Holtz would each week tell you about why he was worried about Navy or what the Army might be able to do to Notre Dame back in the heyday of Notre Dame football in the late 80s, early 90s. All right. So according to Circus Sports Illinois, USA basketball is a 15-point favorite this afternoon. So come on, Steve, please.
Yeah, I love that this is what he's doing, because I tell you what, like, the last thing that you want to do is kind of embarrass yourself or be lulled to sleep, as he said, by the fact that that you beat them before, that you beat them during both the build up to the games and in group play. And I think he's absolutely right that when the Joker has been on the floor, Serbia has played the USA fairly even. It's when he goes to the bench that they've made their runs. So we all know how good the Joker is, Nikola Djokovic. We know how good that guy is. He's a three-time MVP. So I think he's trying to tell his team, hey, you know, let's not skip a step. Let's be up and ready and running. And apparently he's got a couple things planned that he wants to kind of unveil against Serbia. They handled Serbia about as well as you could, and they dominated that team. I watched both those games. I would hate to see him stumble, and I think Kerr's doing exactly what coaches do in big moments. And you're right, Dustin. Maybe it's kind of creating an opponent, but the very fact that they played him even when Joker's on the court, it tells you. You know, he couldn't play the whole game up to this point. I would be stunned if he comes out for a minute. And the U.S. is going to be sending guys in and out and all that stuff because you got to deal with all the egos, although they've done a great job of distributing the ball, and they got a great group that doesn't seem to care who leads them on a particular night. You know, we have not seen Steph Curry lead them in scoring in a game yet. We haven't seen LeBron James lead them in scoring in a game yet. They don't care about that, and I think it's really important. It sends a good message to the rest of the team.
I think you're right. Well put, this is a team that has put their egos aside. The most outspoken member of this team in terms of saying anything remotely controversial has been Joel Embiid. Right. Do you agree with that?
Probably.
And when he's made the comment earlier in the tournament about LeBron, and then he's the guy that's most quoted where you might raise an eyebrow. But other than that, it seems as if this has been very cohesive, and the chemistry has been what you would hope it to be with guys who are united by a common goal. And that's all you can ask for. And I think that's why Steve Kerr does have people's confidence, or has my confidence. And I think he has the respect. He's been able to pull it off. Now he's just got a couple more victories.
It's good. I mean, listen, it's their gold medal.
It's inevitable.
And if you do something to mess that up, you're going to regret it.
You're going to be historic. You're going to be a historic figure for the wrong reasons.
It makes you feel like they got the right guy in charge, because he's just not going to let it happen on his watch.
Right.
And that's an important thing to keep in mind. So, you know, listen, there are star-studded semifinals. It should be fun to watch. I'm really looking forward to the whole game and to the whole tournament. And I love the idea. You know, France against Germany is super good game.
It's so fun. I just wanted, as raising my hand, I wanted to know if you're polling for either side based on the potential gold medal matchup. Are you hoping for Germany or France?
I would
see,
like to see France get through. I've seen the U.S. beat Germany.
I want to see Wembanyama.
I agree.
Okay, I'm with you. I just wanted to.
I want to see him beat every team in the tournament. Right. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And Germany's good, man. They
like the home court
together.
Advantage that you might get with France. You would think maybe.
I just want to see Wemby against the U.S. I think that would be great against that group of all stars.
Yeah,
seeing that would be more watchable than Germany, U.S.
I love to watch Rudy Gobert. So I'm just going to want to, what? No one says.
Nobody says that. No. But then again, that could be possible, because you did last segment say you were taping breakdancing. So your Olympic taste continued to surprise.
But
okay,
yeah.
you're recording breakdancing.
It's not my Olympic taste. I just want to know how you score something like that. And I really want to know if
it's a platinum. It's a platinum plus. I mean,
do you know that?
Well, not exactly, but I'm a dance dad, and so same idea. Like you watch one thing, it's interpretation, right? I'm sure there are certain moves that have to be done, like in gymnastics, where like on the floor exercise they have to do. There's a couple of things like, okay, they did that, check. They did that, check.
Yeah.
And then it's how good did they do the things that are required. I'm sure there's requirements within each dance.
I don't know how far we've advanced with time travel, but if we could bring the late 80s back, or the mid 80s rather, I think we'd roll in breakdancing.
Little boombox.
Just transport some people.
Be cool.
From those, the streets of New York.
They would it would break out on a sidewalk somewhere with live music.
Bring your own piece of cardboard, right? Then they have the cardboard. You used to do it on the cardboard,
right?
For like slickness, I think.
Yeah, well, also, you ever spin around on your head?
How many dreams were born on those sidewalks? Olympic dreams?
None.
Okay.
I don't think there's ever been a breakdancer who thought I'm going to the Olympics. Certainly not in the 80s. All right. 312-644-6767. How many dreams were built in those streets? Mully and all, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score. Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That, of course, the Hard Knocks music. You can listen to it all day. Fun to think about the Bears on Hard Knocks. I'm looking forward to the next episode. You had an opportunity, you and Dan, on the Take the North podcast. You talked to the producer of the program.
Yeah,
right?
Shannon Furman is the director of Hard Knocks. She's done this for about a decade, various teams, various towns. And she's at Hallis Hall, did the podcast yesterday. It dropped in the afternoon with Dan and Adam Sadzinski, the producer. I asked her a lot of questions, about a 20-minute conversation. It's worth listening to if you liked the first episode. There's a lot that she went into in terms of behind the scenes. You know, Austin Reed had a previous relationship with the Hard Knocks producers and team based on the Manning camp, the passing camp. So they knew the family, and that helped them set that moment up. But I was particularly intrigued by something we talked about yesterday, about the lack of profanity that you heard.
There was nary a swear word on that first episode. You picked up on that immediately. Just because football is life. Well, there are people that will drop a swear word without even blinking.
Also, because I walked in here and first thing you kind of said was you watched it with your wife
family.
And your family. Yep. Dustin said the same thing. You heard from a lot of people sat down and it was family viewing, and it could be. And it could be. And I thought that stood out to me because of what you just described. So I asked Shannon Furman about the fact that we listened to and watched the first episode and it was pretty clean.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's important to the McCaskey family, but also, like, Coach is kind of funny because he'll say to me, like, I'm not going to curse today. And I'm like, Coach, I haven't heard you curse yet. Like, so I don't think that's going to be different than any other day. It's definitely something that, like, we've all said it. Like, it's like, have you heard anyone curse here yet? So it's definitely something. And I've also heard Coach say, like, you know, like, I know he's watching his language, but I think that's just who he is. I think he's like that even if there are not cameras around. So it's something we've all been impressed by being here. So yeah, like, it's definitely different. Everyone's a little different. We've heard that in the past too, with different shows where people will say, like, oh, like, I don't want to look like Rex Ryan looked. And you're like, well, Rex wanted to look how he looked, and I think he looked great. But, like, if you're not Rex Ryan, you're not going to look how Rex Ryan looked. So it's all about how you are with the person. We try to be as authentic as possible to who everyone is. And, you know, no two people are the same.
Do you believe, because I believe, that word got down, hey, don't be swearing?
Yes.
No question.
I think that was part of the message from the top. And if you talk about Matt Eberflus being so conscious that he's saying to the producer, I'm not going to swear today, I think that probably comes from the conversations that were had before they welcomed all of the team of the cameras in and all of the intrusiveness that this includes. And they're like, okay, we need to be consistent here. And I don't think it's accidental, which is very interesting.
You don't curse a lot. You don't do a lot of swearing. I don't swear a ton. I remember being in college one time and one of my friends from home showed up and a friend of mine commented on me. He, I never heard you swear. Like, you guys just sat there cursing at each other, swearing about stuff. I was like, it was just kind of, you know, growing up stuff. It was no big deal. But I don't think generally, I mean, I think we all know all the words, but there are other words that are probably better than those words, and you try to avoid them for the most part.
You try to, if you can. I mean, everybody has a different style, and everybody has a different way they were brought up. It's interesting. I did ask also about George McCaskey, because he historically has been opposed to Hard Knocks, right? And we're attributing a lot of this, the tone of it, to what George had to say and what George wanted to do. And I also talked to her about George being a character in this episode. It doesn't sound like that's going to be the case, but this is what she talked about and said about any issues with George McCaskey.
No, I mean, the team has been great, and George has been great, you know? I mean, I don't know that you'll see him on TV or anything, but he's been super welcoming. Everyone here has been very welcoming. I think it's just, it's relationship building, honestly. The fact that, like, we had some time to get to know people. I made three different trips here before we started filming. So you just start building trust. You get to know each other on a personal level, and it's not about the show and what you're doing that way. Just know my background, where I come from, how long I've been doing this, why I love doing this. And then you just form a mutual respect for each other and whatnot. So it's honestly been really great. Having a lot of fun doing this year. Last year wasn't the easiest at times because it was so late. Like we didn't know about the show till a couple of days before it with the Jets last year. So it took more time for those relationships to build. So the fact that we had some time this year to really get to know everybody leading into this process was huge and has been very helpful in I think we've been here for a little over 3 weeks now. So it's been really great.
That's good stuff.
George rides a scooter. He is a youth sports coach.
Yes.
He is a character with some quirky tendencies for his personality, very affable, and he talks to fans. So if he's not part of this, it's because he doesn't want to be part of this.
George has never wanted to be part of it. And I mean, like, I was just amused thinking of us going to training camp, literally getting there at the crack of dawn. It's dark out. We're sitting there. And one of the first guys we see is George on the scooter, right? I mean, just it's like the fact that they don't have that shot, that they don't have a camera picking. Surely they see that.
Yes, yes. It makes me wonder if that was conditional, which is why I asked the question.
Yes.
Okay. We'll welcome you here. We'll do everything we need.
Leave me out of it.
Leave me out of it. Yep. And that's why she said at the beginning, I don't think you'll see George in this TV show.
Exactly. Too bad.
It's too bad because I think he would be a likable character that we talk about the way Matt Eberflus's perception and image could improve over the course of the 6 episodes. So could George McCaskey's if he allowed it to happen.
I told you, I went up to Hallis Hall. I got locked out. I'm trying to get in the front door. I'm going into a news conference. 3 guys come down the stairs and they look at me, and even the PR guy looks at me, and I'm like standing there like holding my hands up. Is I'm often found in this pose. I always thought, like, if I had a newspaper photo, it should be this one. Like, that was all I had. It wouldn't be like this or like this. It'd just be like throw my hands up. But George doubles back and lets me in the door. It's George that does that. He's a nice person. He's a good man. Good man.
Yep.
But I don't know about seeing him on TV. And
I don't think you're going to see him on this the next thing. Episode of Hard Knocks. She did hint that. Get ready for a lot of Tyson Bagent.
312-644-6767. He's a compelling figure. I'm sure his father's going to be around. Maybe they have him arm wrestle you on one of the episodes. We got Biggs time next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.